Greetings to you in the most holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us so much and gave himself for us. Let us look to the Lord for his grace. Let's pray. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, praise you. As a little flock, you have gathered us together on this Sunday, Lord. Lord, help us to hear your still small voice. Lord, help us to align our lives with your word. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Put your words in my mouth. Touch me and cleanse my lips. Lord, we humble ourselves. Submit this simple prayer with faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. See, we have been reading John chapter 3. And today we will be looking through verse 22 to 36. And verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judea countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. See, the verse 22 starts with after this. That means, see, author wants to know us that Jesus Christ went into Jerusalem and he tarried there for the feast of Passover. And he, in the temple, he cleansed the temple. And the night he tarried there, and Nicodemus came to him and asked about how to enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ very patiently, humbly told him that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So again, Nicodemus asked him a question, how come I can enter into my mother's womb once again? No, it's not like that, Nicodemus. You must be born again by water and spirit. There should be a soul cleansing. You should be having a heart of flesh to receive the God and his forgiveness. Then only you can enter into the kingdom of God. He explained very clearly. And he, after everything is completed, Jesus and his disciples went into Judean, the countryside. From Jerusalem, now Jesus Christ and his disciples, they are moving towards the countryside. That means to the villages. And he spent some time there and baptized. See, there Jesus Christ, his mission was, so Isaiah 9:6 says, along with he's a prince of peace, the government shall be upon his shoulders. So he acted like that. So he is gathering the kingdom of God. He's gathering people into the kingdom of God. He is preaching, teaching, clarifying the doubts of the people. This is the way, walk in it. Repent of your sins and be baptized. And come into the folds of God. And God says, you shall be my people and I will be your God. That promise, let us fulfill that. And he spent some time there. He spent, that means he was on the mission. He was speaking to the people. He was convincing people of the heavenly things. And he was convincing of their sins. If you live in that sins, you will be damned. You will not get that eternal life which is being promised to you. So, immediately people started repenting of their sins. And people are getting baptized. In this verse 22, we see that as if Jesus is baptizing. It's not 4th chapter, verse 2, it says, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So, disciples were given power. They were baptizing people. They were convincing people of their sin and people are coming to them. That's what we read it in 22. See, now 23. Now John also was baptizing at Ainan near Salem because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. See, this kind of a revival broke out. See, Jesus did many miracles in Jerusalem. That miracles drawn so many people towards him. But Jesus does not want to, oh, you came to me just because I did miracles. It's not that way. Your heart thing. First of all, the revival, you gathering towards me is good, but the revival should start from your heart. That's how he started explaining. So there were so many people are understanding. Okay, with our sins, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. With our sins, we cannot even see the good things of God that he has prepared for us. So people are getting convinced of that very sermons, and they are coming towards Jesus Christ and towards John, and they were getting baptized. And we can see where there's much water, and there it is baptism is solemnized. So people, Anan near Salem, because there was plenty of water, that's what we read it for here. There people are getting baptized. So to verse 24, this was before John was put in prison. So here, John the Baptist, he was put into prison just because he was convincing people of their sin. So he has to speak the truth. He has to tell what truth is. See, by the time the King Herod, he took Herodias, that's brother's wife, illegally. That's not correct. So he rebuked John the Baptist. He rebuked Herod for his wife. So that's the reason why he was put into prison. Later, he was beheaded for that. So God's people, they will speak the truth. He was sent and he lived like that. And while this is happening, people are getting baptized. And verse 25, an argument developed between some of the John's disciples and certain Jew over a matter of ceremonial washing. See, argument, in some versions it says a question arised. See, gentlemen, ladies and beloved of the Lord, if you don't understand the full counsels of the God, if you don't understand the words of God, you will end up in some kind of a question. Yes, I did not understand this. I did not understand. Like Nicodemus. See, this argument developed between some of the disciples and certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. Hey, these guys are, you are baptizing here and there baptizing. What is this ceremonial washing? What is the body? Why it is happening? I have lots of doubts. That's what he came. There's a big argument rose up at that time. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. See, now the question and the arguments are like this. See, one day one person came to you and you testified him as a Lamb of God that taketh away sin of the whole world. And he is preferred than me, whose shoe latches I am unworthy to tie them, untie them. I'm not worthy enough to untie his shoelaces. Like that you have told. Yeah, you have declared him as a son of God. See, now he is also baptizing. And everyone is going to him. This is the, with that argument they came to John the Baptist. So now the John the Baptist, he has to answer him, answer and clarify all their doubts. See, Jesus Christ was baptizing his disciples. He was preaching his disciples. They were baptizing who were confessing their sins. And they are not understanding that. They are believing only John the Baptist. hey, you are baptizing like this and they are doing the like that. See, which water is good? Is this water is good or that water is good? And who are worthy enough? Your disciples or his disciples? So this kind of a doubts. And John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from above, from heaven. See, start with like, can you please verify that it has come from heaven or not? Can you please understand things from the beginning of the step, from the basic steps, how they are receiving it? Are they receiving it from the heaven? Do you see any joy of salvation there? Do you see, are they destined to the kingdom of God? Unless it is given to them, it's no good. That's what a man can receive only what is given him from the heaven. You yourself can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. See, when you questioned me, when I was baptizing people, you questioned me, are you the Elijah? Who are you? When I was questioned, I gave you a plain reply saying that I am not the Christ. I am the one voice in the wilderness, proclaiming his ways, preparing his ways. I reduced myself like that. And you agreed for that. And you know that. Otherwise, in other way around. See, when you agree that much, can't you see him? Can't you understand him? You are questioning me, hey, when you are the other side of the Jordan, one man came to you, you testified him, you baptized him, like that you are telling. Don't you see that he is the Son of God? He has power over everything. He has power and authority over the sin. He can forgive you. See, now he's going further going. He's replying now. John the Baptist is replying to the question that came up there. See, now he's telling, you believed me, you are unable to believe the very Son of God. See, now he says, the bride belongs to bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens to him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete. See, he is telling, in other words, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return to Zion with rejoicing and singing. There will be no more sorrow and sighing. All these things will flee away. See, once you are dead in your sins and trespasses, now you are redeemed. Now we are being formed into a church, the bride, the body of Christ. Bride belongs to bridegroom. You understand that? See, the redeemed of the Lord are becoming the body of Christ. And they all belong to that bridegroom. I am the only one person. I am a friend of that bridegroom. I am only a servant of God. I stand, I wait and listen to him. I am only the person who prepares the way for people to repent, people to come into the folds of God, people to become the members of that body whose head is Christ. And this, you know, all these people are getting baptized, believing in Lord Jesus Christ. They are the bride, the chaste virgin of Christ. God is going to present them as a chaste virgin. And this bride belongs to the bridegroom. I am only the friend. See, this is, he's kind of giving the complete picture. See, after that, John the Baptist, he did not say any words. There was no more sermons preached by John the Baptist. He is giving the whole counsels of God. The redeemed of the Lord shall return to the Zion. See, you are destined people. Now you are redeemed, and this, as a redeemed people, have to be presented to the God the Father. And as a bride, it has to go. So I am just listening what he is saying, and I am preaching. I am only just a servant of God. See, this is the complete picture of the church order. The church is the body of Christ, servant of God, who listens to the voice of the Lord and feeds the people with his word and prepares as a chaste virgin on day-to-day basis and present. And the church will be, one day it will be presented. That's what he is telling. I only wait and listens for him, and the full of joy when he hears the bride's voice. See, he's not taking pleasure in the bridegroom's beauty. He's taking pleasure and joy to hear the bridegroom's voice. The joy is mine and is now completed. Jesus Christ is preached. A repentance of sins is preached. People are gathering together and becoming a part of the church and becoming a bride of the bridegroom. Now my joy is complete. That's what John the Baptist is replying to them. So he says, he must become greater, and I must become less. Hey, now you are trying to put some comparisons between myself and the John the Baptist. No. Whatever I preached, the same thing he is also preaching. Same thing, same repent of sins. He must increase. He must penetrate into the entire world, because he loved so much. He loved the world. He must increase in the world, and servants of God should pave the ways for the Lord, and they should reduce, they should decrease, they should not boastful of anything that they have done. See, let's look at the Psalm 23, how the increase, how the decrease comes. Psalm 23, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, when can we say, Lord is my shepherd? When is that meekness? When we will get that meekness? Unless you turn to be a sheep, you will not recognize him as a shepherd. Unless you reduce yourself to be a sheep, then you will not recognize God as your shepherd. David did. He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He understood the God who created the heaven and earth. If we follow his footsteps, if we follow his words, if we follow him, he will restore our souls. He guides me in the path of righteousness. He is the way, the life and truth. He will lead you in the path of righteousness. Even though I walk in the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Just now we heard God. God is the light of this world. Many times in these further chapters, you will see, I am the good shepherd. That is John's Gospel 10 verses 11. I am the light of the world. John's Gospel chapter 9 and 6. Many times, Jesus Christ, I am the bread of the life. John's Gospel chapter 6 verse 35. I am the door. John's Gospel 10, 9. I am the resurrection and the life. 10, John's Gospel 11:25. I am the way, the truth and the life. John's Gospel again 14:6. I am the true vine. He that abideth, you should abide in me. John's Gospel 15. You will understand. You will visualize. You will realize when we have that, the penitent heart. Blessed are those poor in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He must increase. And he says, Baptist, John the Baptist is no greater prophet ever lived on this planet Earth. He says, I must decrease. See what a wonderful humbleness he came to. He set an example. See, latter part in the entire John's Gospel, you will be hearing these words. I am the shepherd. He that cometh to me, I will give him the living water. These kind of words. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. See, you will, only when we have this kind of an attitude, you will understand how great he is. See, that's what he's telling us. He must increase. Beloved of the Lord, we should, anything contrary, see, then how that writing on the wall happened in the book of Daniel. Many tekel. Let me not say that ofar sin. Many tekel. Your days are weighed. Tekel, your weight in a balance. See, when we are weighed in the balance of God, so are we in the way, what is our position? Are we exalting ourselves above God? Are we exalting? Are we humble? Those things only matter. If you exalt above the God, you are in the wrong way. That's what Satan did. We are in the Satan. That means we are condemned people. If you humble and see who God is, then we will obtain his salvation. See, he must increase and we must decrease. If this attitude is not there, anything contrary, even if you make it equal, not correct. We should be always decreased in position. The verse 31. The one who comes from the above is above all. The one who comes from the earth belongs to earth. He speaks and speaks as one come from the earth. And one who comes from heaven is above all. See how he exalting Jesus Christ. How he is becoming humble. See, I am from earth. I have that seed of Adam. But he is Jesus Christ is not that way. He is a sinless. He is above all. He came from above. He came from heaven. I am from this earth. He is exalting Christ. And 32. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepted his testimony. See, he testified. He testified about the Father. All the time, during his ministry, Jesus Christ always proclaimed, I am on my Father's business. I do the will of the Father that pleases him. See, even Jesus, when he was baptized, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father testified about him. And he testified. He speaks the very words of God. Because he is the word of God. He is the light of this earth. He came to his own. And his own received him not. That's what we read it in John's Gospel, first chapter. See, but no one accepts his testimony. See, he is baptizing on the other side. He is convincing people of their sin. He is urging people to repent of their sin. If you follow traditions, traditions will not help you. If you are boastful of it, the law is given to you, that will not help you. You people of Pharisees, repent. That's what he was telling. Those words you are not accepting. The very Son of God, whatever his relationship with the Father, his forgiveness power you have seen, you are not believing in him. But no one accepts his testimony. You are accepting me, please accept him also. That, in other words, he is telling. The man who has accepted has certified that God is truthful. Yes, this is the thing that is in our heart. We accepted Jesus Christ as Son of God. We accepted we are sinful. We accepted, that is the true thing. A man who has accepted it has certified that God is truth. See, we all understood when we are saved. Yes, we are redeemed of the Lord. God only can redeem us. And he is sanctifying us. And he is giving us the eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the truth. That we are proclaiming that God is true. We are certifying that he is true God. And we all have this kind of an experience. We are all redeemed of the Lord. We have this kind of an experience. He is, once again, this kind of an experience one should be having. That's what a man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God had sent speaks the words of God. But for God gives the Spirit without limit. See, he has that words. The words are a spirit and life. See, he is full of spirit, full of grace and truth, full of grace and mercy. His words, no man had ever spoken. People who judged him gave that statement, even Pontius Pilate. See, no man had ever spoken this kind of a words. That's what people who heard Jesus Christ saying, they testified like that. See, he's for the one whom God had sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. He was sent. See, he is from above all. He is from above. He should be above everybody. That's the reason why. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow down. In the name of Jesus Christ. Before him, because he is above all, he is the very express image of the Father. Can we read Hebrews chapter 1? In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He is the express image of his very person, upholding everything by the word of him, by his word. His words, he spoke, everything came to existence. He let there be earth, there was earth. Then the same word spoke to us. Son, my sins forgiven thee. Sin no more. This is as equivalent to the earth is created. That's the reason why those who are in Christ, all things passed away. Behold, everything is new. As a new creation, how the earth was created by his word. That's how we are created as a new babes born in him, born by him. Speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. He spoke the words of grace. He spoke the words of very spiritual words. The Father, now 35th verse says, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Just now we have read, everything is created by him. Everything is created for his glory. See, Father loves the Son. And Son will obey the Father. The Father loves the Son. And Son has the Spirit. The complete triune God. He is depicting. See how the relationship is established. The same relationship he wants with you and me. Father loves the Son. The Son loves the world. The Son loves the world. See, one big circle. God loved the world. Big circle. God loved the church and he gave himself to the church. A small circle. And God, that is Ephesians 5:25. And God loved me so much and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Beloved of the Lord, if you understand God loved me so much, he gave himself for me. You will understand the body of Christ, how you are joined into the body. God loved the church and he gave himself for the church. Then you will understand God loved the world. That exponential love, unfathomable love. So wonderful. So wonderful. Father loves the Son and he has placed everything in his hands. King David once he says, it's better to fall into the hands of the Lord. Yes, he will chastise for a moment, but he will correct you and put you into the right place. It is better to fall into the hands of the Lord because everything has been placed in the very hands of Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, for the what was their question? You are baptizing and they are baptizing. John, you are baptizing like this and John, Jesus Christ and his disciples baptizing that way. Which one to believe? Which water we need to come? Which place to come? Shall we come to Ainan near Salem or go to the countryside of Judea? You are great or he great? He is great. We are a little bit confused. Therefore that he is replying. It's not that way. First of all, listen. You understood me and what difficulty you are having to understand Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. See, he lays down it very principle. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever reject the Son will not see life, for the wrath of God remains on him. See, the very purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this world, to seek and save that is lost. You are that lost person. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. You want that eternal life? You need to believe. This is the God. See, when Nicodemus was talking to Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, he was not present there. But this message is same. Even when he is in somewhere, Jesus Christ was in Jerusalem talking to Nicodemus. Know how the Spirit has revealed it. These are the words of truth. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The same reply Jesus Christ gave to Nicodemus. The same kind of reply John the Baptist is giving to that person who came with a doubt or argument. See, whoever believes in him has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. See, now you have this eternal life. Now you have that gift. Do you reject it? If you reject, you will not see the life. You will be condemned. For the wrath of God, God's wrath remains in him. See, the wrath of God is revealed, poured upon all the unrighteous people. That's what we read it in 1 Corinthians. The wrath of God is revealed on all unrighteous and sinful generation. See, that's how we neglected Christ. That's how the entire world neglected Christ. If you speak about Jesus Christ, people are rejecting because their hearts and their mind are blinded. They are not seeing it. They are not. See, we come to an extent. You are coming to an extent of believing who I am. I am the John the Baptist. And you are understanding my way of baptism. But it's, what is the great difficulty for you to understand what he is saying? See, even Nicodemus, he argued when he pleaded with all the people. First of all, hear what he says. Don't you hear what he say before we convict him or before we capture him? First of all, listen what he says. That's what Nicodemus told entire congregation there after listening to Jesus Christ. See, this is what he is telling. First of all, listen to him. Even God the Father, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Listen to him. Just even the Mary, she said, "Do whatever he says." Then immediately they filled the water into that barrel, in that stone pots. And then when they had drawn, that water became wine. Just by doing things according to God, just by listening and adhering what he says, water turned to wine. See, just by listening and adhering to him, our lives will be changed. Our lives will be transformed. We will get that eternal life. Whoever believes in him, whoever believes in the Son, has eternal life. Eternal life, eternal joy, everything is eternal. See, God is eternal. He keeps us eternal. Whatever, see, that's the reason why in the further epistles we read, we will become co-heirs, joint partners with Jesus Christ. Because we are here. We are with him. We become the sons. That's what, shall we read one verse from the chapter 1? Twelfth verse. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. We will be a rightful heirs of the heavenly possessions. What a wonderful opportunity we have. See, we were once we were unredeemed people. We were going in our own ways. Now the Word, the very Word came to us. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And just listen to him. Hear and adhere. Then see the change in our lives. how the water changed to wine, the same way this will be changed. If you don't repent of our sins, if you don't believe in Him, that He has power over sin and He can provide us the eternal life, that He can forgive our sins, we will be condemned. The wrath of God, the sin that is coming through Adam, the sin entered through one man. The sin brought the death. The death is passed to all the world because all have sinned. Through one man, Jesus Christ, through His obedience, He humbled Himself and He became a Lamb of God for our substitute, for our sin substitute. He offered Himself. Whosoever believeth in Him will not be perishing. The double benefit, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Listen to Him and adhere to Him. He must increase in our lives and we must decrease. May God help us.